Your next job could be in the palm of your hand with the Stage Jobs and Auditions app for the iPhone. Whether you're a theatre professional looking for a full-time career, an actor looking for your next role, or maybe you're just looking for work to tide you over during that awkward resting period, you can find what you want fast and for free with the Stage Jobs and Auditions app. Just search for Stage Jobs in the App Store or go to app.thestage.co.uk.
The Stage, a fresh look at entertainment.
Podcasting live from Scotland's capital city, the Edinburgh Fringe Podcast with Ewan Spence. Brought to you by The Stage and the Podcast Network. It's that time again when we join his guests and catch up with the latest news. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Ewan.
Good morning, everybody. The sun is gone, the clouds are out, but that's not going to spoil our day here at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. Welcome to another week of the podcast.
I know, there's like still today and then another week and then next Monday to go as well. Tons of time to get everything in. You would
now find it possible to get round every show,
but you can still get in some of the best shows, some of the greatest theatre, some of the most wonderful music, and some of the funniest jokes on the planet.
As always, brought to you by The Stage and the Podcast Network. I'm here every single day during the Edinburgh Festival. Have been now for 6 years. Rather amazingly, and only repeated a question of, what's your show like 16 times? Quite proud of that one. Yes, it is the last week. We've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And next Monday, we'll have about 70% of the shows lined up. And that's it. It's all over. So if you're in Edinburgh, you've got a week and a day. If you're thinking of coming up to Edinburgh, get a move on. You can still make it up for next weekend. Still take in those great Friday, Saturday, Sunday shows. Or come up on Wednesday, Thursday when it's, just a little bit quieter. Not by much, but just a little bit. Or, just wake up tomorrow and go, I'm not going to go into work. I'm going to tell them I'm sick. And just going to come up for a day and see 4 things and then leave again. Because you only live once. Unless you live twice. In which case, Ian Fleming would like to have a word with you in the afterlife about some IP rights that he might have. Anyway, interviews and news? Yes. News first? Always. Congratulations go to Tim Vine. Viewers of TV channel Dave in the UK have voted one of his jokes the best joke of the Fringe. Can I just say how utterly pointless this award is? The fact that Tim could probably never use this joke again because it's going to be in every single newspaper. The fact that at least half of the jokes have already been used by the Scottish Wholesale of Sock Puppet Theatre in their 50 pub jokes in 4 minutes sketch about 2 years ago. But it's an award and it's funny, therefore it's not pointless, so forget everything I've said. Oh, all right then, here it is, the winning joke. I've just been on a once-in-a-lifetime holiday. Tell you what, never again. I still think that the 8th place joke to Gary Delaney was far better. Dave drowned, so at the funeral, we got him a wreath in the shape of a lifebelt. It's what he would have wanted. Perhaps actually saying Dave drowned killed off the branding exercise for the TV channel. I don't know. But everyone's a winner. Even Errol Brand. Over on the Stage blog, ed.thestage.co.uk for all their Edinburgh coverage from their huge reviewing team taking in theatre comedy and such like, augmenting by this podcast. Mark Shenton, managed to get in last week, has been deciding, it's sort of exploring how he chooses what to see, what to review, various bits of hints and tips. We'll have a link back on the blog, a lovely article entitled How Do You Make Sense of Edinburgh? Mark, you should know by now, don't. But I do love the fact that he has simple lines saying, you cannot plan for blisters. There's a story in there. One of the things you'll always hear people talking about the festival is why don't the big media people come up and give the festival, which is bigger than Glastonbury and runs 7 or 8 million times as longer, and sometimes even gets grammar correct. Why don't they give more coverage to Fringe? Well, the internet has stepped in place, and lots of media online, including reviews, including this podcast or its video shows, and we've all banded together. It's the Festival Media Network. You may have remembered that Pete Shaw mentioned it back in our launch gala day. And they are having a meeting Wednesday, 25th of August. It's this Wednesday at the Cabaret Bar in C Central. It's called Media on the Fringe, starting at 1 p.m. And it's discussing with promoters, performers, management, venue owners, how the online, the internet, and the independent media can be handled during the Fringe, leveraged and made to best use. I shall be there, fingers crossed. And I want to find out a little bit more about all of the people online. Come along. One of the other members of Festival Media Network is, of course, Fringe Guru, who run the iFringe application. We're pulling out our recommended shows every day by looking at all the independent reviews online, finding the best ones, and going, that one. Today, it's the Sunday Defensive Further Complications. It's on at Pleasance Courtyard at 4:45 p.m. It's a less well-known sketch comedy act that's been picked up by quite a number of the reviewers. 5 stars from Fringe Guru. People need to be more aware of these guys. They're eccentric and outlandish, but never malicious or mean-spirited. Festivus already found them and handed them 4 stars as well. The two share an effortless rapport. The most surreal moments provoke the greatest reactions. All of the reviews mention cheese, but they're not actually saying why. I suspect that they're hiding a really good punchline, which Dave never picked up on. But anyway, the Sunday Defensive Further Complications is at 4:45 p.m. in the Pleasance Courtyard. Let's take the news down out of there and head into today's interviews. That later on in the show, we're going to be having improvised music from The Noise Next Door. Their show Chaos Control is a lovely, slick and tight mix of comedy and music and improv and fantastic skill. We're also going to have Will Seward. He's been on before. You remember he did Bouncy Castle Dracula, in which I did the interview on the Bouncy Castle a couple of years ago. He's went one step more with his new show about pirates. It's called Silent Cannon Fire, and we will find the interesting hook out in his interview. But before then, we have a Germany's comic ambassador to the United Kingdom. His show is called My Struggle. I could translate it, but you would lose the punchline again. And his name is Henning Venn. Certain topics are good for certain actions. For example, French is good for being romantic. Scottish is good for only speaking in vowels. Only one language in the world is perfect for shouting.
Jawohl, wunderbar, Achtung. It's the deutsche Sprache.
Indeed. Joining me now, Henning Venn.
Yeah.
Germany's wunderbar. Unofficial comic ambassador to the United Kingdom.
Yeah, self-appointed. But now with the official blessing of the German National Tourism Office, so I'm at least semi-official by now.
I am noticing all the posters for Visit Stuttgart.
Yeah. Well, it was Munich, but it's all the same, isn't it? Win a trip to Munich. German National Tourism Office, they sponsored the show, and when they agreed to sponsor the show, they didn't know the name of the show yet. Mm-hmm. And now the show is called My Struggle, obviously only coincidental and to any previous books and shows. So I wasn't sure if they were to go ahead with that sponsorship, but they did. So I'm not sure if they've got a sense of humour or if they just didn't get it.
If they had said to you, change the name of the show or you don't get the sponsorship, would you have changed the name of the show or would you have kept your, you know, integrity?
What is the show is called. If they want to come on board, then they're welcome, and if not, they can sponsor some pianist.
Not a stranger to the Fringe, you've been here a couple of times, but this is your first solo show.
Yeah.
Now, previously, the German Guide to Humour, Pop Goes Germany, or...
Thousand Years of German Humour, Beginner's Guide to German Humour, Abracadabra, German Humour Goes Global, 3 World Cups and 1 World Pope, so... Yeah, that was the shows I all did then with Otto Kuhnle, and Otto is now on the baby break. And I was a bit, because we were always being typecasted as the Germans. Didn't really matter what we did on stage. Oh yeah, the Germans, they do their silly thing again, so no one really cared. So in this year, really want to break out the creative prison I've been in for the past few years. And
so you've went into a cave.
Yes, indeed. Lovely bunker there.
I wasn't going to go for the bunker reference. We don't want to take all the jokes from the first 30 seconds.
I did consider so many different show titles for this show. Because you want to get it right, don't you? So I did consider Hun in a Million or any other play on Hun and One from the local community, and Raconteur. I'm only going up to Edinburgh, what's the point? Spike Milligan, My Part in His Downfall, did consider that. And I said, bloody hell, all this naming of shows business, so difficult. And that's why I then decided to call it My Struggle in the end.
So how, you've obviously been here before, now you're doing the solo show. How are you finding the audiences differ? Because where previously you and Otto sort of took turns about, and there was a difference between stand-up and the more physical nature of Otto's comedy. Yeah. I still love the leaf blower with the red, yellow, and black.
Yeah, superb. Absolutely superb number by Otto. He's just a fantastic variety performer. So, last year's show, when he came in dressed as a woman, it might not sound extremely enough, but what's the funniest thing? He comes in dressed as a woman, and then yodels in the headstand whilst dressed as a woman, and then also conducting a cowbell orchestra that he put together earlier on in the show. So, and he's just come up with those things. It's hilarious. But this physical side of it this year has gone, and essentially I am just doing my normal stand-up material. So, and I've written a show about what it is like to do stand-up comedy for past 8 years here in Britain, and some of the experiences I had. And for it's a very different vibe to the show, as in this now really is straight stand-up, and it is pretty much a stand-up audience. Whilst what Otto and I attracted was predominantly a theatre audience.
So, I mean, what I have to say is the performance. I mean, what I loved about it was everybody kind of in the audience had this sort of cliched view of what somebody who was going to be German and a stand-up would do. And for the first 5 minutes, you did that. And then you took those expectations and subverted them wonderfully. I mean, it's, I know you said that Otto is a great theatrical and great vocabulary, but technically, you're one of the most accurate comedians I've seen so far on the Fringe.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, there were part of that. It's again, having worked with Otto so many times now up here, I've written shows and getting the idea of what is a narrative arc. And then I've also in the past I've supported Stuart Lee on two of his tours. So, and that's essentially like a masterclass every single night. And it's not about that you copy any of them, but it is just getting an idea about narrative arc, because I don't come from a drama or theatrical background. I come from a marketing background, and I just stumbled into stand-up comedy. So all this idea of essentially creating, building a narrative arc, that is something that a good few years ago I would have struggled with. So, and that is the two biggest influences there for me have been the work with Otto and observing Stuart Lee night after night.
Is there an equivalent stand-up scene in Germany where you can go over and play a show like Look How Crazy the British Are?
Well, there is now, the stand-up scene is building in Germany, but it is still predominantly variety performances, and so the old music hall tradition, and that's the one sector. And then the other segment is the political cabaret, and the political cabaret is there's quite an earnest affair, to be honest. So if you were to go to a political cabaret evening, you would see someone doing a two-hour show, but the laughs would be quite sparse. And if there was loads of laughs, then people would go, what's that all about? Clearly this show isn't serious enough.
Well,
What do German audiences make of you? I mean, first of all, do you have any Germans who are coming to the Fringe? Will you going, ah, here is somebody from Ireland. We will go and see that.
The reaction of the German people depends very much on their reaction. Depends very much on if they are just tourists coming here to Britain for a week or something, for a trip to the festival or Scotland or God knows what. Then they usually don't get what I do because simply they're not familiar with the reference points I use. Be it famous people on hunger strikes or something. So that was...
Hey, careful now. We said before, look, I know you're the bravest comedian in the Fringe. I'm not the bravest podcaster. We are not going down the orange and greenery, okay?
Yes, jawohl.
Thank you, Zermain Herz.
Yeah, bitte. To appreciate my stand-up comedy as a German, what you have to do, essentially you have to live in Britain and have to be, A, confronted by the stereotypes that I talk about at times. So, like, for example, the idea that all Germans love David Hasselhoff. I mean, if you were to say that to a German that doesn't live over here, would say, what are you on about? Are you on drugs? So, because he's just not popular. So, but over here, he built that idea. I mean, he built a worldwide career on allegedly being famous in Germany. How good is that? So, and then the Germans that live over here, they obviously can fully empathize with what I do and say, yeah, I'll hear that every single day. So, and there is that aspect of it. That means Germans that have been living here for quite some time, they are usually very good, that they usually enjoy it very much.
So really, you couldn't take this career back home. Your career is now in Britain, and you happy with that?
Well, I could think of worse things. like a career in the former East Germany. That would be truly horrendous. Workshop communists. But no, can I not go back to Germany? I think
you could, but I mean, not as a comedian.
I think I could. Obviously, I would need to write a new act. That goes without saying. But that's just because, I do very little observational comedy. If I were to do loads of observational comedy, like, ooh, men and women, aren't they different? And then that obviously, that travels a lot better. That travels a lot easier. But what I try to do is social commentary, and social commentary is narrowed and is essentially limited to places where you can perform it. Because it has to have a relevance. And could I do something similar in Germany? Yes, I could. But what it would mean is going back, start at grassroots level and build an act. Because it's not as easy as saying, oh, I'll just translate it and then it will go down a storm. It wouldn't. Because in the British comics, and they do it here, they stand up in what is their first language. They go out night after night after night after night and try to optimize their new material. So then to say in reverse, to conclude, oh yeah, all I have to do is go back to Germany, essentially stick it into Google Translation and then just learn that verbatim, then I've got an act, that would not work. But I could build my way up there if I wanted to. At the moment, I don't really see the incentive, don't see the point. It's far too enjoyable and entertaining being on the English-speaking circuit, because it's not only Britain, it is comedy gigs, English-language comedy gigs worldwide. I've got a week in Singapore coming up in November, and that would be something. If you perform in German, you're pretty much limited. You'll probably get a week in Argentina, and that's, and that's about that.
So it's a wonderful hour. So glad you're over here in Britain. I think Fringe is all the better for the international flavour that you give. Where can people see the show?
They can come to see my struggle at 9:10 every night at the Caves on Cowgate, just a tonic venue, the place you won't find. It's on 9:10 on Cowgate, just a tonic at the Caves. It's a lovely venue. Come along or else.
And now, a little bit of an exclusive for the podcast. We have one of the debut scenes of what could be the hot ticket this year. Performing for us now, one of the scenes from Silent Cannon Fire, we have
Will Seawood
and
Emma Sterling.
And listen to this. Fantastic!
Wasn't it just?
It was, yes. For those of you who haven't quite got the joke yet, Will has about as many mad ideas as I do, don't you, Will?
Oh, maybe not quite as many, but getting there.
All right, so, Silent Cannon Fire, tell us the twist this year.
Well, it's the world's first ever completely silent pirate play. Hooray! It's a pirate play, like any other pirate play, but where they have words, this one doesn't have words or sound effects. It does have live folk music, which wasn't just there.
Is that silent?
No. Oh,
no!
At one point it's silent when there's a dance, but no, other than that, no, they do actually play. But they're dressed as mermaid. Mermaid? They're dressed as mermaids, so it's all good.
Six women all dressed as one. There we are. That's five women in fitting in one shirt, I think, is on the issue. You could take some hints from that.
I suppose. Is yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I shall find them.
Stop trying to pun me with your single mermaid soap and everything. Right, well, of course, you've brought up stuff before.
Yeah.
Bouncy Castle Dracula was one of them, and weird stuff with tentacles in the underbelly last year.
That's right, yes. Yeah, last year was this odd, mad thing called Ballad of the Skull Fairy, where myself and Dracula from Bouncy Castle Dracula flailed with squid tentacles and had a fencing match with a skull and a tibia. Although it wasn't actually a tibia. It turned out it was a femur someone called out from the audience one night. And he was right, and we couldn't do anything at all.
So, what comes first? The I've booked a venue, I need to come up with something. Or... I can go this year.
Well, actually, this year it was an I can go this year. The idea for this one kind of came out of my massive frustration with shows where two people sit on a sofa and talk about their emotional problems. And you know, it's great, but they might as well be radio plays. I sort of wanted to see what happens when you take the words out sort of try and create some sort of pure Brechtian fable. And also, everyone loves pirates, and pirates are loud usually.
Is this just a challenge then? I mean, you obviously hear, everybody can hear how bouncy you are. And there are no bouncy castles this year, listener. That's why I still have my breath. I mean, do you see this as a sort of letting off of steam? Because you do proper stuff through the rest of the year.
Mostly, yeah. But yeah, well, the Fringe is the sort of place you can try this. I think that... I was going to say there are two places in the world, but no, there's one. It is just here.
What would the other place have been?
It would have... Actually, I was going to say sort of student theatre, but that tends to be a lot more mainstream, now I think of it. but no, the Fringe. People are up for trying something like this in terms of doing it and in terms of watching it. And so, yeah, it needs to happen. If it doesn't, it won't.
Right, so, Emma, what possessed you to even audition for this piece?
Well, I couldn't really resist because Will is such a charming person and it sounded so exciting and strange. There's nothing really quite like it that I've heard of before. So
what have you been used to before? Have you done any pirate or swashbuckling shows before?
No. Nothing remotely like this before, so... Completely new for me, and yeah, really.
So, what have you been performing before? What's your sort of favourite plays and roles to do then?
Probably more standard, straightforward stuff. I like modern plays, and this is kind of, well, it's a really new idea, so I guess it's modern in that respect. But it's nothing like anything I've done before.
And what are the challenges that you have of having silence? You know, what have you had to change in how you act?
It's difficult when we're running around a lot because you can't breathe really heavily.
It's a pirate thing and you're female, which means you're in a corset.
Yeah, and that's also difficult.
I love Will laughing in the background there as if my whole thing was just to have a retinue of women dressed in whalebone on a femur.
Yeah, that's convenient, I guess. But no, it's really good, and I think it really makes you use your facial expressions and think about them and make it really clear. And also the way we stand and our posture and the way we use our hands, everything is really exuberant, which is good because I think it needs to be exuberant.
So there's a lot you can take forward into more serious roles then.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really made me change the way I approach acting. So that's a good thing.
Well, the audition process, that must have been fun.
It was. Okay, we got everyone, we sort of had to work with what we had in the audition room, but we got everybody, and that turned out to be a large bottle of Coca-Cola. So everybody had to pretend that this Coca-Cola bottle was the most terrifying object in the world, and that they had to go and touch it. Emma just blew us away instantly. I think Emma was the third person who came in, and we were genuinely moved. We did not want her to touch that Coca-Cola bottle by the time she'd got across the room. What else? The Coca-Cola bottle also became a sexy nun that a monk had to seduce. Just sort of playing with emotions, playing with physical expression, using inanimate objects.
And the other question is going back. I mean, we asked Emma, that, you know, what can she take forward? What do you take forward here? You know, the writer, director, in the cast as well, I'm assuming.
Actually, not this year. I'm taking a back seat on the, well, because I had to see everything. It wasn't a case of okay, I'll do this and I'll fit into the scene in this way. This time I actually did have to see everything and make sure there was no blocking. And
so you found your limit then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your limit is silent plays.
Yeah. And it's mad. I have an inertial frame of reference now, and I don't know what to do.
Get a physics joke in, obviously.
I suppose, yeah. Yeah, get a white coat, that'd be fun. It's been a bit of a learning journey for me on a sort of dull, serious note. It's really taught me an awful lot about how things are expressed, being all wet and pretentious, about how a play is an interpretive experience in the mind of the audience, and how it kind of comes out of an obsession with form that I've developed. And I'm going so far up my own bottom now that I'll stop.
So the show itself can be not heard but seen where?
It can be seen at Zoo Roxy at 4:20. Every day until the 30th, and it's mighty. You should very much go and see it.
There we go. Silent cannon fire. Yet another one of those fringe experiences which I think people will come and see and just go, oh, you'll never guess.
I hope so.
Well, Emma, thanks for coming onto the show.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Ewan.
My show was last night, so you've missed it. There's a strong chance I'll be back next year, but in the meantime, please enjoy this short moment of noise.
Brilliant, brilliant sunshine is beating down here on the balcony at the Loft Bar. By brilliant, brilliant sunshine, please note I am using the Scottish definition, which means it's behind a rather dark cloud and there is a bit of wind. But this is as close as we get in August, so I'm going to enjoy it. And enjoying it with me, we have the noise next door.
Hello.
So there was three cheers, an Boomtown.
Boomtown, that's quite right, Boomtown.
And
yes.
And a yes, a nice smile. So we have
Nathan on the guitar.
Sam. It's just me, just Sam.
Tom on vocals.
Another Tom over here. Hi.
Also on vocals?
Well, yes, I suppose so.
Same range as the other Tom?
Well, a little bit lower, I'd say.
Okay, so you're going to be low Tom for the rest of the interview.
Right. The bass.
Yes.
And Matt, who I can go up and down.
And Charlie, who can squeak.
Right then, so the show itself, Chaos Control, is... Who wants to describe it?
The show is called Chaos Control, and it's based around forming a secret agency in order to control the chaos that is happening throughout the world. Our mission is to unearth Earth's shattering secrets, kick some ass, and generally bag some sexy chicks.
All through the power of improvised song.
You know, it doesn't sound like it would work, but we've been doing pretty well, so I think, yeah.
And not just song either, it's scenes and songs, it's not all music. There's a lot of music in it, but we do scenes and songs and gag sort of stuff as well, so it's not all music.
There are a lot of groups up here at the Fringe that mark themselves off as improvised comedy or improvised singing. So why are you guys slightly more above average than everybody else?
Well, the
The big thing about us is that we really try and make sure that it's comedy first and not improvisation first. So we're more of a comedy troupe who happen to be improvised as opposed to an improvised comedy show. So we'll just make sure that it's funny above everything. Like if there's something people get annoyed with us because sometimes it's not technical improv. It's just genuinely funny.
So you already have, like, for example, structures in the song, for example, that sort of thing of making it right first, you mean?
Well, we have there's a couple of songs which have structures, but there are others which, I mean, we've been doing it for a long time, so there are others which aren't structured but were good enough to kind of to still make it funny. And that's where Nathan is great on guitar as well, and coming up with genres just off the cuff as soon as an audience have asked for it. But yeah, in terms of comparing to other improv troops, yeah, it's just we just really focus on it being as funny as possible and as much interaction with the audience as possible as well. So
I think one of the reasons it's the gag rate that's very, very high, and I think that shows because we do a lot of the comedy circuit. Like, we've been headlining Jonglers and Highlights before we came up here, and so we've been holding our own against well-established comedians. I think when you do that, you've got to make sure that you're hitting the punchlines regularly. Otherwise, you know, if you're doing a comedy club, the audience will get bored if you get too theatrical about it. You've got to make sure that you get the funny lines in there. I think that's where our strongest skills are.
So let me turn to Nathan now, the guitarist. Sam has delightfully said can turn to any genre.
Yeah.
Improv audiences love to try and catch out the improv guys.
Yeah, that's right.
So when they're asked for a genre, what's the genre that they always think, oh, they'll never be able to do this?
It's kind of weird because the obvious ones you kind of know anyway just from playing instruments, and the hard ones you kind of anticipate. So you can kind of prepare, well, not really prepare, but you know, you kind of like maybe anticipate them. It's the ones like in the middle which generally catch you out because they're like what? Girls are like soul or, I don't know, Bangra. stuff like that.
Bangra.
Yeah. Which
are you really? Is that really a genre?
Absolutely. I can do it now as well. I can take that one off my list. You know.
You got computer game music the other day. Game music or
no? Chip rock. Well, chip rock's a standard genre.
Yeah. We had
everybody knows chip rock. No.
I think it was like Nintendo core or something like that. Something.
Yeah. Gypsy punk.
Yeah. We had gypsy punk a couple of days ago. Yeah.
Elevator music. Elevator music's a classic. Really catchy stuff.
All on one guitar. That's what we pride ourselves on.
Yeah. So audiences tend to like giving us garage or techno stuff, which you just can't do just on a guitar, but Nathan rocks out.
Absolutely.
Hardcore.
What about flamenco?
Yep, no problem.
Yep.
Throw them at me, come on.
Okay, Gregorian chanting.
Yes, actually, we got that.
On the guitar?
Yeah, we got that last year.
On the guitar?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Cool, get the guitar, right? I want to hear this one. Right, while you're doing that, no, seriously, get the guitar out. Gregorian chanting, come on.
Let's do it.
You said you did it last year? Yeah. There we go. Right, while he's now in a panic and saying he wished he said rock and roll was hard, the show itself, how's it going down with the audiences?
It's been going down really well. We had a chance to do some previews and that sort of thing before we came up here, and I think really kind of finally got it slick and how we want it just before we started. I think they have a really good time. We say we're setting up a secret agency. It's not about like looking cool. It's more like five guys in a treehouse setting up a secret agency, and it's much more matey and people sort of joining in and feeling like they're one with the boys. So that's been fun.
It's always interesting here. Oh, we polished the show until we got it working. But it's improv. You know, the point of improv to the audience is that you're making it up every night. What they maybe don't realise is the fact is that you have to practice, you have to drill, you have to, in essence, rehearse.
One of the things that we work really hard on is making a game, a structure of a game work so that we can play it 100 times with different suggestions and that each time is funny. And so so I guess in our preparation for Edinburgh, we were just trying lots of different new ideas and trying to move away from the sort of stereotypical Whose Line games and sort of do our own things, really.
Have you found that mythic nirvana for an improv group of creating your own improv game that nobody else has ever thought of that works?
Oh, I don't know. Has Rescue Gary been done before?
And what is it as well? Yeah, there's a couple of games, definitely, which take, I guess, similar variables that you would have in other improv games. But it's just about just kind of transferring them to your own style, really. And as Tom was saying about doing it on the circuit, you have to change the way that an improv game would work to make it a lot quicker and funnier and get characterization in there, but to make the gags come out a lot quicker. So yeah, there's a good few games which we've kind of developed and have been awesome.
I think you're exactly right in saying you know, the mechanics of the game, what makes the game tick, like whether or not it's a guessing game or a character game or whether or not it's a changing game, you know, they'll always be there. It's getting your own style and your own spin on certain games, which I think makes them work and makes them stand out.
Yeah, it is, like, as fun as it is to see other improv as well, like, I've seen quite a lot this year, and all the games are very, very similar, and they're based off of, you know, kind of Keith Johnston impro and Who's Line stuff. So it is nice to get away from, and it's really nice, especially if you're a seasoned kind of improv audience member. It's nice to go and see improv and see different games played and stuff.
It's funny as well, because in the show we never introduce them as games anymore. We don't say this next game, and at the end of the game we don't go and scene.
We've lost all of that.
we just stop that and just let the scenes roll into each other.
As you can see, the sun is rapidly finding a larger and larger mass of dark cloud. So right then, let's hear Gregorian chanting on the guitar.
Who wants to join me with a Gregorian chant?
Oh, you need help, do you?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you can't. Unfortunately, a guitar can't physically chant, so we have to have some. As much as I'd like it to,
improv it.
Have to have some backup.
If we can get a topic, and then two people want to do a song.
And so, what we need from you is a service that we could be offering, like a massage parlour or a security service, any as outrageous as you'd like. Any sort of service.
Let's go for Control Alt Delete.
Control Alt Delete.
Yeah, for people who can't reset their computers, someone comes around and resets the computer for them.
Okay.
Someone who goes around and resets people's computers. Now, we won't send a person around. We could send any sort of person. So it could be a hobbit. It could be some pandas. It could be Germans. What sort of people would you
choose? How about a flamboyant failed 1980s rock star called Adam Curry?
Sure, okay, so we've got flamboyant 80s rock stars, one of which is called Adam Curry, who are going around to people's houses to help them reset their computers. I think this is a fabulous service, and I think we can definitely do it. It's going to sell well, so let's take it away.
Guys, I've got an idea.
What's that, Tom?
So please listen to me.
Okay.
We're gonna start a business that resets your broken technology. But don't worry, everyone, and pay attention, please. The people resetting your computers are rock stars from the 80s.
Tom, this is gonna be fun, my friend. It's gonna be such a whirl. It will predominantly be for not the boys, mostly for girls.
Hooray!
And yes, it's true, cause technology skills, you know that women, they lack. Control, Alt, Delete, but does it work on your Mac?
Does it? Genuinely,
I don't know. It's not one of the technologies I'm particularly familiar with.
Oh, well, maybe Adam Curry can help us out with that. So what are we going to call this business, Tom? What are we going to call it?
I was thinking we're going to call it Adam's Reset. Yeah. Oh, my friends, I think it's fate. Adam's Reset. Yeah. Fixing Windows 98. Adam's Reset. Yeah. Oh, my friends, I think it's fate. Adam's Reset. Yeah. Fixing Windows 98.
Oh, Charlie, this is such a great idea.
I know, this guy just came around to look at my computer.
Oh, fantastic. How'd it go?
Yeah, he had glitter around his eyes and stuff.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
Looked like David Bowie.
Things have gone wrong and now I'm forlorn.
Adam, listen to me.
I need to erase this because I've been looking at porn.
You're a man, I'm a PC.
It seems that this man, he's so genius, there's nothing he can't do.
I think that Adam Curry is hotter than a vindaloo.
That's crazy.
He's nice.
So talented.
It's glitzy.
At this you might scoff.
Make no mistake.
Those arrows.
He's a god.
Return.
You could always just turn it off.
It's Adam's Reset. Yeah. Oh, my friends, I think it's fate. It's Adam's Reset. Yeah. Fixing Windows 98, it's Adam's Reset.
Whoa,
yeah. Oh, my friends, I think it's late. It's Adam's Reset.
Nothing can go wrong.
Fixing Windows 98.
Well, let's get resetting. I'm an 80s rock star, and I think I'm hip. I'll arrive at your house on my Jefferson Starship. thank you. I will fix your computer so it is never droll.
And why the hell will you do that?
I'll build it on rock and roll.
Adam's on set. Yeah. Oh, my friends, I think it's fate. Adam's reset. Yeah. Fixing Windows 98.
It's a business idea that you can never slate.
You need Adam's reset. Fixing Windows 98.
The noise next door, Chaos Control, and it's on at
7 o'clock at the Pleasance Courtyard. There you go.
Baby grounds. I'm not lying, it is.
Yeah, because, you know, if it was another show and then you'd have wasted this entire interview.
That's absolutely ridiculous, yeah, I know.
We've been awful.
Never mind.
And there we go. There are your interviews for today. Thank you to the guys from The Noise Next Door. Thank you to Will Seward. Thank you to Henning Van. Thank you all out there for listening. I apologise for you having to go around for the rest of the day going, it's Adam's reset. Thank you also to Adam Curry for being a great straight man and not even knowing he's been on this podcast. There you go, Adam. You've been on a BAFTA-nominated podcast. Enjoy. I hope you're enjoying the podcast as well. EwanSpence@gmail.com, @Ewan on Twitter. Always from the stage and the podcast network. I'll catch you tomorrow. Ta-ra!
This is probably going to be one of the most exciting things I ever do.
The Stage Podcast, a fresh look at entertainment.
I can be a bit grumpy, or even rude, but I don't want that to be, you know, my entire persona.
Because I think Cameron wanted someone that would surprise everyone and come from a different world.
These are very interesting questions, I have to say. You know, these are not the usual last questions that I get asked.
There's still a little bit of snobbery, I think, attached to that, and I'm always going to be Cameron MacDonald.
To hear interviews with some of the biggest names in theatre and television, just search for Stage Podcast in iTunes or in Google.
May I congratulate you on not having just got your question straight off of Wikipedia.